Hello, and welcome to another podcast by Morgan LaRoche. I'm Josh Morgan, and today we are going to discuss disciplinary investigations and what you need to know to ensure your investigations are fair and reasonable. It is extremely important to ensure that an investigation is conducted accurately and fairly, as they play a key part in any resulting dismissal. As we know, for a dismissal to be fair under the Employment Rights Act 1996, an employer must establish that the dismissal was for one of the five potentially fair reasons, those being capability or performance, conduct, redundancy, statutory illegality, or for some other substantial reason. The ACAS Code of Practice on Disciplinary and Grievance Procedures provides practical guidance and recommendations regarding disciplinary investigations. Whilst the code isn't legally binding on employers, employment tribunals must take account of it when considering relevant cases and may award up to 25% higher or lower damages if the code is unreasonably not followed by either the employer or the employee. The code is accompanied by non-statutory guidance and is the minimum standard that employers should follow. Sometimes, all that is required with an employee accused of misconduct is a quiet word, and this is often preferable to deal with such issues informally at first. For example, if an employee is consistently late, it may be better to have an informal chat with them about the reasons for their lateness and what they can do to improve going forward. However, if this approach doesn't work, or for the more serious conduct issues, then commencing an investigation may be appropriate. It is important to remember that even if it seems there is a case of obvious guilt, it is crucial that an investigation takes place prior to any disciplinary action being taken. Even if the employee admits guilt, an investigation should still be considered, as it may highlight any mitigating circumstances. That is not to say that every incident requires a thorough and prolonged investigation. The legal test is that an investigation must be reasonable in all the circumstances and judged objectively by reference to the band of reasonable responses. It is difficult to give hard and fast advice in practice as to what is a reasonable amount of investigation. However, non-statutory ACAS guidance states that the more serious the allegation is, the more thorough investigation is required. There are a few factors to consider after you've commenced your investigation. Firstly, make sure to follow your own disciplinary policy. You will need to ensure that you know what you need to do and when you need to do it by, with reference to your own policy. Even if you do not have your own policy or procedure, you should follow the ACAS Code on Disciplinaries and Grievances. Secondly, you should ensure that you have different people involved at each stage of the process, in ascending seniority. You should also ensure that different people carry out the investigation and disciplinary meeting. If your organisation does not have the sufficient senior staff to comply with this requirement, you might want to consider appointing an independent human resources consultant. Thirdly, you should choose an appropriate investigator. This could be an employee who is not connected in any way to the incident, such as a line manager, a human resources team member, or someone that has specialist knowledge surrounding the alleged misconduct, such as a finance manager. Fourthly, you should ensure that you avoid any unreasonable delay in line with the ACAS code. This may influence who you choose to conduct each part of the procedure, as an employee with imminent leave may delay and prejudice the process. You should also keep in mind any interplay with any other related procedures. For example, if a grievance has been raised by the employee at the same time the investigation takes place. You should also consider whether your own investigation will prejudice any ongoing police investigation into the employee's conduct. We will shortly be publishing a separate podcast regarding this topic, so please feel free to refer to it and let us know if we can assist. You should also carefully consider whether the employee should be suspended with pay pending the outcome of the investigation. This may be appropriate where the employee is accused of bullying or harassment. You should inform the employee of their suspension as soon as possible and ensure that they understand this is not a disciplinary act nor an assumption of guilt. A follow-up letter should be sent to the employee after the initial suspension conversation with the details and restrictions of their suspension, which will be on full pay, kept under regular review, and should be kept as short as possible. You should also ensure that you understand the allegation against the employee, as this will frame the rest of your investigation. Once you've decided on the avenue that the investigation will need to take, you should begin to gather evidence as soon as possible. Records of the investigation are vital and should be clear, concise, and contemporaneous. Witnesses should be questioned and statements should be gathered. Physical evidence, if available, will need to be obtained. This includes emails, CCTV footage, or the employee's company phone. An investigation interview or meeting may also need to be held with the accused employee to establish the facts and record their own account of events. This will be most appropriate where the evidence against the employee largely consists of witness evidence given by fellow employees. Remember, this meeting is not to discipline the employee, but to establish facts. Whilst employees have a statutory right to be accompanied to disciplinary meetings, the same right does not apply to an investigatory meeting, but you should check your own disciplinary policy to check its requirements in this regard. When questioning witnesses, the investigator should ask them to give an account of what happened in their own words of the events they personally witnessed or were involved in. It may be useful to have prepared questions and a chronology beforehand, but make sure to be flexible and ask additional questions arising from their answers. The investigator should then create a written statement for the witness and allow them to read, amend, and sign the statement once approved. Some witnesses may be unwilling to give a statement to the investigator. Whilst employers cannot force employees to give a statement, the investigator could promise the witness anonymity. But when this is done, an anonymous statement should be corroborated with the evidence of other witnesses. After all evidence has been gathered, the investigator should prepare a report to assist the disciplinary hearing, which outlines the evidence and their recommendations. You should examine all evidence objectively and not make any conclusions based on instinct. Make sure to take account of the employee's version of events and its accuracy, and when drawing conclusions, weigh up the evidence on the balance of probabilities. What is the version of events that is more likely to have occurred than not? If a disciplinary hearing is to go ahead, this report should be handed to the employee a few days beforehand for their own review. We hope that you found this podcast useful. Please do not hesitate to contact us on 01792 776 776 if you have any queries. Thank you for listening.